A little girl who just started school came back home so excited. And it was her first day in school. She came home and the mom asked her, "What did you do today? And what did you learn today?" She said, "Not enough." So the mom asked the same question again because she was not clear of the answer. She said, "What did you learn today? And how did it go today?" She said, "Not enough, Mom. I got to go back tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day." You know, what a cute and interesting story and a great lesson. The young girl was so excited to go back to school because she felt there's so much things for her to learn. And we thank God for His Word because every time we look at God's Word, it's so powerful, so enriching. It enlightens our hearts and it gives us assurance to know that in God is with us. What a powerful word that we have. Dear friends, before we look at God's Word, let's pray that God will give us understanding. And whatever we learn, that we will put into practice, that God's strength and the joy of the Lord will continue to be our strength. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, which is so powerful and it enriches our life, God. We pray that as we look at your word, we pray, Father, that you will continue to work in our lives, motivate us, God, inspire us, Father. We want to be people who love your word and love in following you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me ask you a riddle, and in your chat box, you can answer that riddle. The riddle goes like this. What do we love to give but hate to take? Let me repeat it again. What do we love to give but hate to take? I believe some of us would have got the answer right. Some of us might be even thinking, you know, what do we love to give but hate to take? You know, the answer is advice. See, advice is, we love to give advice because we want to share our thoughts to others. But it's always a challenge, you know, when you want to take advice from people. When was the last time someone asked you for your advice? Did you give that person something to think about or consider rather than telling them what to do? Dear friends, how often do we really honestly take someone's advice and go on actually to implement it into our lives? How often do we say to ourselves, "Wow, that's a great idea. That is going to really help me." You know, each and every day, when we look at the social media or the many advertisements that we come across, we hear advices coming to us in a different way or in a different form. Right? It tells us what to think. It tells us what to buy, and it even goes to the extent how to parent your child or how to win in life, how to be successful. Because when you Google a particular pressing question, you tend to see advice, hints as to how you should be taking the path. We do not know how the journey is going to be this year, but we know that we are going to hear a lot of advice. We are going to hear a lot of suggestions, a lot of tips for our journey. Maybe some of us are going through a different terrain in our life. It might be a rough terrain. Some of us might be going through a valley experience or even a desert experience in our life. But Scripture reminds us that we need to be staying on track and to run this race with endurance. And we thank God for God's Word because God's Word always enlightens us. Right? When you look at Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 32, you know, it says, "So be careful to do what the Lord has commanded you." So God has commanded us. God has given us His word because of His love for us. And so Deuteronomy also says, "Right, do not turn aside to the right or to the left, but to do what God has commanded us to do." The passage that I want to look today, it's Paul's letter to the church in Philippians or the Philippi church. where he is not just giving a pastoral advice, but he is saying, he's calling the Christians by saying, this is a command. This is important for your life, for you to live in this world. And it comes as a joyful encouragement to the Philippian Christians. So in verse 1 of chapter 4, you know, Paul loved the church so much. And so not only he's advising them, but he's saying that they have to be found following. I believe God loves us so much, my friend. And he wants us to be living a life for him. And let me read, you know, Paul says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, he says, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. So what a powerful advice Paul is giving us. I believe if Paul is alive today, he would continue to give us advice and say, these are the things that we need to be found following in a world where things are not certain and things are very challenging for us. And so Paul is giving exhortations here as a father gives to his children, and that's the way Paul is giving the thing. And let's look at the word that Paul is saying. You know, when you look at the word very carefully, let me read verse 8. He says, finally, brothers and sisters. He says, finally. So in other words, he says he's bringing a comprehensive exhortation, and by saying, no, this is important, finally, and to stand firm, because Jesus is the foundation of our life. He says, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, is anything that is excellent or praiseworthy? He says, think about such things. You know, Paul says, think about such things. Paul is using 8 adjectives here. And he is saying, no, these things are important. And he says, think about these things. You know, let me start by looking at the word where Paul is saying, think about these things. Paul is not just saying, no, just read it or glance at it or just give a thought to it. The way Paul is using here, he says, dwell on them. In other words, focus on them. Set your minds on them. The 8 adjectives, they are important. They are fundamental for your Christian living. Because what you get into your thoughts affects your life. And then Paul, very interesting, he's using a very mathematical term here. He says, he's saying, have careful calculation, concentration there. Make sure that you're filling your minds with these 8 adjectives because it is going to affect your life. This year, my friend, as we have stepped into this year, we are here going to hear so many things. We'll be bombarded with so many things out there. And so we thank God for His Word, for God's Word that helps us. Because we live in a world where there's a constant stream of information. We are saturated with many hours of information. And so the Bible encourages us, right? Because there's always power in what you think about. Because our life, our thoughts, can lead to a change in our actions or even our directions. The way we think is the way we are going to live. The way we think is the way we are going to direct our paths. So your thoughts and my thoughts will determine where we want to go in our life. I came across a study that was done about our thought pattern or even our thoughts. Researchers say that an average person has 6,200 thoughts a day. Can you imagine a staggering 6,200 thoughts a day from the time we get up from bed? Or even in our dreams, there are various thoughts that come in. 6,200 thoughts a day. And the same research also tells us that 80% of the thoughts are negative. Not that they are totally evil, right? They can be very, we might be thinking, this is not possible. We tend to question certain things. We can be judgmental and all that. So 80% of the thoughts are negative and 90% of them are repetitive. You know, when I was just looking at the study, I realized there is a spiritual problem. Because if there are so many thoughts that are negative, it's going to affect our lives. It is going to affect our spiritual walk. But thank God, God is the solution. And the Bible gives a solution. And thank God, you know, because the Apostle Paul was aware that you and I will face different thoughts in our life each and every day. And so Paul is saying that we need to be intentional about focusing our minds. You know, it's so powerful when you look at the things that Paul is saying. Then he says, whatever is excellent or praise. And Paul goes on. So he talks about the conduct. He talks about, you know, things that is the service that we do with to people. Right? And so it is important for us to think in things that will please God. You know why? Because our thoughts are important in the sight of God. In Psalms 94 verse 11, the Lord says, the Lord knows the thoughts of men. You know, so powerful. The Lord knows our thoughts, even whatever you and I are thinking, because it matters to God, because it is going to affect our life. Isaiah says in Isaiah 66 verse 18, he says, for I know thy works and thy thoughts. David in his psalm, you know, in Psalm 139, he says, Lord, you perceive my thoughts from afar. Can you imagine? God knows our thoughts from afar, and he is concerned about our thoughts, my friend. So what are we filling our thoughts with? Are we filling our thoughts about who Jesus is, his teachings, the things that he has taught us about life, about, you know, about decisions that we have to be making, about family, about living in this world, because it affects our life. You know, the more I look at the eight adjectives, I realize, I think, I seek God, because God is true. God is honorable. God is just. God is pure. God is lovely. So my friend, I think it reminds us the importance of seeking God, filling ourselves with things that will please God. I'm not saying that, you know, we shouldn't be reading books that are non-fiction and all that, but what are we soaking into our mind? Is it affecting our life? Is it affecting my decision? I think there is a question that each and every one of us need to ask. Even when we are watching a movie, it's nice to watch a movie, right? But what is it we are absorbing? Is it affecting the way I live in this world? Is it affecting my life in terms of pleasing God, as God is so concerned? You know, how wonderful if each and every one of us would echo the prayer of David, who said in Psalm 139, verse 23, he says, Lord, search me, God. He says, search me and know my heart. And he said, test me and know my anxious thoughts. I think, can you imagine if each and every day we can say to the Lord, Lord, search me and test me and know my anxious thoughts. And not only that, he doesn't finish that. He says, see if there is any offensive way in me. And then he concludes by saying, and lead me in the way everlasting. If each and every day we can say to the Lord, Lord, search me, test me, show me your God. If there are things that I've soaked in today, which is going to affect my life, my family, the way I look at things, if I've directed my life away from your word, help me, Lord, in the way everlasting. Secondly, when you look at it, firstly, Paul is saying that, you know, right thinking is important, because right thinking leads us to the second one, which is called right living. So Paul says in verse 9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So a couple of words here he's using. He says, whatever you've received or seen in me, right? So he says, whatever you've received, because Paul was very instrumental in terms of bringing God's word to them and teachings about God's word to them. He brought the stories of Jesus Christ. He brought stories about the miracles of Christ and about faith, about the way that we can be living a life that will please God. So Paul brought a lot of lessons to them because of his encounter with Jesus Christ and with the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. And so Paul says, you know, do not just receive whatever I've given to you. Because in those days, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. It was revealed to the apostles. And so when Paul uses the word, he is saying that, you know, whatever you have heard, right, you need to receive it. Do not ignore it as if it is coming from a man, but receive it. But today, how are we receiving God's word? And secondly, when he uses the word, he's very careful here. He says that we must have a right spirit about the truth that we heard here. Am I just hearing? Am I hearing with the right spirit? Is it helping me to submit to God's word? Or am I just contradicting? So that's the way Paul is saying, whatever you've received from me, right? And then he also says, whatever you have heard from me. In other words, you know, Paul, when Paul uses the word, I think it's not about teachings alone, but there were godly examples in those days from other believers, my friend. And even in Paul's writing, he talks about the cloud of witnesses and all that. And so whatever we have learned from people, from godly people, from their testimonies, that really encourages us, that motivates us. And so Paul is saying, whatever you have received from me in terms of my teachings, you know, the examples that you have seen around, even through Paul's life. And then he also concludes by saying, whatever you have seen in me, no, Paul did not give them abstract ideas. He was not just giving them teachings, but he demonstrated it and how they should be found living. You know, Paul, he was able to say, follow me because I follow Christ. You know, he was bold enough to challenge the people by saying, follow me. Why? Because I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And he, in Philippians chapter 3, if you read 15 to 21 onwards, Paul, verse 17, he says, you know, join together in following my example. Right? Can you imagine that? Because that was, and he was bold enough to say this, whatever you have seen me, dear friends, we are a living testimony of who God is. And that is what the scripture always reminds us. Do we reflect the Lord Jesus Christ? And do we live a life for him that others will be able to see and to glorify God for working in our life? And today, you and I are called to be examples. You and I are called to be Christian models because the world is searching for people to look to help them in their life. And Paul writes, even in Titus, he writes about it. Chapter 2, verse 7 and 8 and 9. He says, he writes to this man, Titus, he says, in all things, show yourself to be a pattern of good works. And lastly, he says, practice. Whatever you've seen, it's wonderful to see, it's wonderful to observe. But then he says, practice. And did you catch the last word? He's very careful when he uses the word, right? He calls us to practice. When you look at the word, it has the Greek word has two meanings here. You practice, in other words, to do it with a single focus, with a single aim of achieving it, my friend. And the verb also means it is a continuous action. It becomes a way of life. It's not whenever I feel like it, but with the intent of following the Lord Jesus Christ, and it becomes part of me, part of my life. That's the way Paul is using the word. You know, before I conclude, many of us would say, you know, we have been believers for so many years. Or some of us would say, you know, I've been living a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's important for us, at what point can we say that we have learned something? Each and every one of us would be able to say, I've learned something, when you have understood it. When you can repeat it, my friend, then you have learned something. When you're able to explain it to others, and when you can do something about it, you can learn. You have learned. Today, I think we are called to pass our faith to our kids, our friends, and to the younger generation. I think we need to be reminded of Paul's example. He not only taught the truth, but he passed on the truth that was revealed to him, and he displayed it through his life. Let me conclude with a story here. You know, and finally, before, you know, Paul also says that, you know, in verse 8, he says, and the peace, and the God of peace will be with you. And the God of peace will be with us. Earlier, he was saying that the peace of God will be with us. But here he's saying the God of peace. In other words, we will continue to have the indwelling presence of God in our life. The presence of God will be found in our life. We will know, we will acknowledge, and at the same time we will experience His peace in our life. Do we have the God of peace in our life? Only when we start thinking about the things that God wants us to think. Let me finish with this story. It's about a little boy who was offered an opportunity to select a dog for his birthday present. He was so excited because it is almost like his dream come true. So he went to the pet shop, to the parents, showed him, you know, a couple, number of puppies. And from them, he, you know, they said, you know, you can choose whatever, you know, which pet you want. And then he picked up a pet where the tail was wagging furiously. Then finally, the parent, you know, once he had selected, you know, and they asked him why he selected that particular dog. And the little boy said, I wanted the one with a happy ending. I wanted the one with a happy ending. Dear friends, I believe in all of us want to have, we want to end this year with a happy ending. We want our lives to be happy. We want, in whatever situations we are in, we want to have the peace of God. We want to know that we are in the presence of God, that we are not alone. We want things to be wonderful, good in our life. And we thank God for His word. Let's start thinking about the things that the word of God speaks about and absorb it, because it is going to affect our lives. I want to pray. I want to pray as we step into each and every day that God will help us. The Spirit of God will work in our lives, that we will absorb things that will be aligned to God's word, that will please our Master. Because everything that we take into our thoughts will affect our life. That we will be great models, that we will be able to say boldly like Paul, imitate me because I imitate Christ. What a great testimony we are able to come and echo the words of Paul who said, imitate me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It's so rich, God, so powerful. Lord, as we have stepped into this year, God, we pray that as we encounter things, God, help us to take in the things of God, to think of things that will bring glory and honor to you, Father. Because Satan is always there, Lord, to snatch us away, to bring evil and negative thoughts into our minds, Father, because he wants to affect our life. Help us, Lord, to know. And also, Lord, to seek you at every moment of our life. And help us, Lord, to live a life where people will be able to glorify you. And help us to pass the faith that is in us, that is given to us. We love you and we bless you. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen.